It was well into the darkness of Audience Day before Leto could meet with the Bene Gesserit delegation. Mineo had prepared the Reverend Mothers for the delay, repeating the God Emperor's reassurances. Reporting back to his Emperor, Mineo had said, "They expect a rich reward."
"We shall see," Leto had said. "We shall see. Now, tell me what it was the Duncan demanded of you as you entered."
"He wished to know if you had ever before had someone flogged."
"And you replied?"
"That there was no record of, nor had I ever before witnessed, such a punishment."
"His response?"
"This is not Atreides."
"Does he think I'm insane?"
"He did not say that."
"There was more to your encounter. What else troubles our new Duncan?"
"He has met the Ixion ambassador, Lord. He finds Hui Nori attractive. He inquired of—"
"That must be prevented, Mineo. I trust you to raise barriers against any liaison between the Duncan and Hui."
"My lord commands."
"Indeed I do. Go now, and prepare for our meeting with the women of the Bene Gesserit. I will receive them at False Siege."
"Lord, is there significance in this choice of a meeting place?"
"A whim. On your way out, tell the Duncan he may take out a troop of guards and scour the city for trouble."
Waiting for the Bene Gesserit delegation at False Siege, Leto reviewed this exchange, finding some amusement in it. He could imagine the reactions through the festival city at the approach of a disturbed Duncan Idaho in command of a fish-speaker troop.
"Like the quick silence of frogs when a predator comes."
Now that he was in False Siege, Leto found himself pleased by the choice. A free-form building of irregular domes at the edge of An, False Siege was almost a kilometer across. It had been the first abode of the Museum Fremen, and now was their school, its corridors and chambers patrolled by alert fish-speakers. The reception hall where Leto waited, an oval about 200 meters in its long dimension, was illuminated by giant glow-globes which floated in blue-green isolation some 30 meters above the floor. The light muted the dull browns and tans of the imitation stone from which the entire structure had been fashioned. Leto waited on a low ledge at one end of the chamber, looking outward through a half-circle window longer than his body. The opening, 4 stories above the ground, framed a view which included a remnant of the ancient shield wall, preserved for its cliffside caves where Atreides' troops had once been slaughtered by Harkonnen attackers. The frosty light of first moon silvered the cliff's outlines. Fires dotted the cliffside, the flames exposed where no Fremen would have dared betray his presence. The fires winked at Leto as people passed in front of them, Museum Fremen exercising their right to occupy the sacred precincts.
"Museum Fremen," Leto thought.
They were such narrow thinkers with near horizons.
"But why should I object? They are what I made them."
Leto heard the Bene Gesserit delegation then. They chanted as they approached, a heavy sound all a jostle with vowels. Mineo preceded them with a guard detail which took up position on Leto's ledge. Mineo stood on the chamber floor just below Leto's face, glanced at Leto, turned to the open hall. The women entered in a double file, 10 of them led by 2 Reverend Mothers in traditional black robes.
"That is Antioch on the left, Lysiel on the right," Mineo said.
The names recalled for Leto the earlier words about the Reverend Mothers brought in by Mineo, agitated and distrustful. Mineo did not like the witches.
"They're both truth-sayers," Mineo had said. "Antioch is much older than Lysiel, but the latter is reputed to be the best truth-sayer the Bene Gesserit have. You may note that Antioch has a scar on her forehead, whose origin we have been unable to discover. Lysiel has red hair and appears remarkably young for one of her reputation." As he watched the Reverend Mothers approach with their entourage, Leto felt the quick surge of his memories. The women wore their hoods forward, shrouding their faces. The attendants and acolytes walked at a respectful distance behind. It was all of a piece. Some patterns did not change. These women might have been entering a real siege with real Fremen here to honor them.
"Their heads know what their bodies deny," he thought.
Leto's penetrating vision saw the subservient caution in their eyes, but they strode up the long chamber like people confident of their religious power. It pleased Leto to think that the Bene Gesserit possessed only such powers as he permitted. The reasons for this indulgence were clear to him. Of all the people in his empire, Reverend Mothers were most like him, limited to the memories of only their female ancestors and the collateral female identities of their inheritance ritual. Still, each of them did exist as somewhat of an integrated mob. The Reverend Mothers came to a stop at the required 10 paces from Leto's ledge. The entourage spread out on each side. It amused Leto to greet such delegations in the voice and persona of his grandmother, Jessica. The Bene Gesserit had come to expect this, and he did not disappoint them.
"Welcome, sisters," he said.
The voice was a smooth contralto, definitely Jessica's controlled feminine tones, with just a hint of mockery, a voice recorded and often studied in the sisterhood's chapter house. As he spoke, Leto sensed menace. Reverend Mothers were never pleased when he greeted them this way, but the reaction here carried different undertones. Maneo, too, sensed it. He raised a finger, and the guards moved closer to Leto. Antioch spoke first.
"Lord, we watched that display in the plaza this morning. What do you gain by such antics?"
"So that's the tone we wish to set," he thought.
Speaking in his own voice, he said,
"You are temporarily in my good graces. Would you change that?"
"Lord," Antioch said, "we are shocked that you could thus punish an ambassador. We do not understand what you gain by this."
"I gain nothing. I am diminished."
Lysiel spoke up.
"This can only reinforce thoughts of oppression."
"I wonder why so few ever thought of the Bene Gesserit as oppressors," Leto asked.
Antioch spoke to her companion.
"If it pleases the God Emperor to inform us, he will do so. Let us get to the purposes of our embassy."
Leto smiled.
"The two of you can come closer. Leave your attendants and approach."
Maneo stepped 2 paces to his right as the Reverend Mothers moved in characteristic silent gliding to within 3 paces of the ledge.
"It's almost as though they had no feet,"
Maneo had once complained. Recalling this, Leto observed how carefully Maneo watched the two women. They were menacing, but Maneo dared not object to their nearness. The God Emperor had ordered it. Thus it would be. Leto lifted his attention to the attendants waiting where the Bene Gesserit entourage had first stopped. The acolytes wore hoodless black gowns. He saw tiny clues to forbidden rituals about them. An amulet, a small trinket, a colorful corner of a kerchief so arranged that more color might be flashed carefully. Leto knew that the Reverend Mothers allowed this because they no longer could share the spice as once they had.
Ritual substitutes.
There were significant changes across the past 10 years. A new parsimony had entered the sisterhood's thinking.
"They are coming out," Leto told himself. "The old, old mysteries are still here."
The ancient patterns had lain dormant in the Bene Gesserit memories for all of those millennia.
"Now they emerge. I must warn my fish speakers."
He returned his attention to the Reverend Mothers.
"You have requests?"
"What is it like to be you?"
Lysiel asked. Leto blinked. That was an interesting attack. They had not tried it in more than a generation. Well, why not?
"Sometimes my dreams are blocked off and redirected into strange places," he said. "If my cosmic memories are a web, as you two certainly know, then think about the dimensions of my web and where such memories and dreams might lead."
"You speak of our certain knowledge," Antioch said. "Why can't we join forces at last? We are more alike than we are different."
"I would sooner link myself to those degenerate great houses bewailing their lost spice riches."
Antioch held herself still, but Lysiel pointed a finger at Leto.
"We offer community."
"And I insist on conflict?"
Antioch stirred, then,
"It is said that there is a principle of conflict which originated with the single cell and has never deteriorated."
"Some things remain incompatible," Leto agreed.
"Then how does our sisterhood maintain its community?"
Lysiel demanded. Leto hardened his voice.
"As you well know, the secret of community lies in suppression of the incompatible."
"There can be enormous value in cooperation," Antioch said.
"To you, not to me."
Antioch contrived a sigh.
"Then, Lord, will you tell us about the physical changes in your person?" "Someone besides yourself should know about and record such things," Lysiel said.
"In case something dreadful should happen to me?" Leto asked.
"Lord," Antioch protested, "we do not. You dissect me with words when you would prefer sharper instruments," Leto said. "Hypocrisy offends me." "We protest, Lord," Antioch said.
"Indeed you do. I hear you."
Lysiel crept a few millimeters closer to the ledge, bringing a sharp stare from Mineo, who glanced up at Leto then. Mineo's expression demanded action, but Leto ignored him, curious now about Lysiol's intentions. The sense of menace was centered in the red-haired one.
"What is she?" Leto wondered. "Could she be a face dancer, after all?"
No. None of the telltale signs were there. No. Lysiol presented an elaborately relaxed appearance, not even a little twist of her features to test the God Emperor's powers of observation.
"Will you not tell us about your physical changes, Lord?" Antioch asked.
"Diversion," Leto thought. "My brain grows enormous," he said. "Most of the human skull has dissolved away. There are no severe limits to the growth of my cortex and its attendant nervous system."
Mineo darted a startled glance at Leto. Why was the God Emperor giving away such vital information? These two would trade it. But both women were obviously fascinated by this revelation, hesitating in whatever plan they had evolved.
"Does your brain have a center?" Lysiol asked.
"I am the center," Leto said.
"A location?" Antioch asked.
She gestured vaguely at him. Lysiol glided a few millimeters closer to the ledge.
"What value do you place on the things I reveal to you?" Leto asked.
The two women betrayed no change of expression, which was betrayal enough by itself. A smile flitted across Leto's lips.
"The marketplace has captured you," he said. "Even the Bene Gesserit has been infected by the Sook mentality."
"We do not deserve that accusation," Antioch said.
"But you do. The Sook mentality dominates my empire. The uses of the market have only been sharpened and amplified by the demands of our times. We have all become traders."
"Even you, Lord?" Lysiol asked.
"You tempt my wrath," he said. "You're a specialist in that, aren't you?"
"Lord?"
Lysiol's voice was calm but overly controlled.
"Specialists are not to be trusted," Leto said. "Specialists are masters of exclusion, experts in the narrow."
"We hope to be architects of a better future," Antioch said.
"Better than what?" Leto asked.
Lysiol eased herself a fractional pace closer to Leto.
"We hope to set our standards by your judgment, Lord," Antioch said.